The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Habit 4. Think win-win.
Think win-win. That means in all relationships where cooperation would be beneficial, where long-term quality of relationship would be helpful, always think win-win. Supplier, distributor, employee, customer, owner, spouse, child. Now, if you're in a competitive situation, go ahead and think win-lose. You want your team to beat another team, you're going to think win-lose. How do we beat them? But hopefully, on your team, you're trying to cultivate the spirit of win-win, aren't you? So that the players will cooperate with each other. You get a group of hot-dogging grandstanders who are just out there for themselves and who won't cooperate and they can't read the nuance in the communication. You could have a mediocre team, mediocre talent, but a high degree of synergy. We wipe them out again and again and again. It's a very common experience. Unity is so vital and so basic. But it's a different kind of unity than most people think. It's not cloneness. It's not sameness. It's respecting and valuing differences. Unity means complementariness. We'll talk about that when we discuss synergy. Now, most people are not scripted to think win-win. Some are, but most, I suggest, are not. I think most of the human experiences with organizations in society today tend to cause us to think win-lose. Don't you? Let me just see if I can identify some of the sources. The family. Do you ever compare one child against another? That's win-lose thinking. Do you ever withdraw patience, respect, and love because of behavior? Win-lose thinking. In other words, if love is ever given on a conditional basis, that means you are not intrinsically valuable and lovable. You have to earn that love. Therefore, the value does not lie in you, it lies outside you. If it lies outside you, it's in comparison with somebody else or against some standard. See? And when a child, when they're very young and vulnerable and dependent and very hurtable, very needful, very open, you can imagine how that love can literally shape and form this very plastic child. It's so powerful. And so they start to feel like, when I'm better than, I receive more love. I'm not as good as, I receive less. Look how proud my parents are of me and how much more affection I receive. They have programs to think win-lose. Now, they can be rewritten, as we discussed. Rewrite the scripts toward win-win. Nevertheless, we have to realize how hard it is. Another source of programming is the peer group. The child first wants acceptance from the parents and then from the peers, whether they be siblings in the family or friends outside. And you know how cruel sometimes friends can be. They will accept and reject totally on the basis of conformity to their expectations and norms. So that's additional scripting and programming toward win-lose. The academic world reinforces it. Deep within its bowels is a normal distribution curve. You got an A because she got a C. So what we're really saying. And yet in your heart you know, perhaps, this person who got a C was working harder and exercising more of their talents than the one that got an A. Nevertheless, that is the reward and punishment system of the academic world. And grades are carriers of social value. They don't just tell you how you did on this test as an indicator. But you take that grade and it opens doors of opportunity for you, or it closes them. It carries social value and psychological value, see? So it's another powerful reinforcement toward win-lose. Another one, athletics. Particularly with young men who have heavily been programmed in their high school years Their metaphor of life sometimes is that life is a big game. That's what it's about. They see all of life as a zero-sum game. If some win, some lose, see? The concept of win-win, you know, that sounds nice, and you certainly need cooperation on your own team, but basically, you define winning as beating, as beating. Politics, win-lose. Law, win-lose. Democracy, win-lose. Majority, minority. Majority win, minority lose. Compromise is the best that can come from democracy, not synergy. Synergy is a much higher level of mutual consent where everyone has produced together something that they are totally behind. However, in a world today, compromise is the very realistic alternative. You have to have an extremely high level of trust to go for synergy. And if you have discordant approaches to different things, discordant value systems, it's very hard to develop that amount of mutual trust. But look at the programming toward win-lose. Now, some people are programmed the other way. Lose-win. Martyrdom. Step on me again. Everyone does. I'm a loser. Always been a loser. People get psychologically geared to lose. I'm a nice guy. Give away the store. Do anything to help people. Nice guy is lose-win behavior. Now, some people only think win. It's not that they necessarily want to be. They just want what they want. Narcissism is the expression of a self-centered person who begins to have a view of life, a paradigm of life, that everything surrounds me. Win-win is far more mature. In fact, there's one even more mature than that. Win-win or no deal. No deal basically means, let's communicate, Bob, until we can find a solution that would benefit us both. And if we can't find one on this critical jugular issue, let's agree to disagree agreeably. No deal. No expectations have been created. No performance contract established, see? I won't hire you, or we won't take on this particular assignment, because it's obvious that our values or our goals are going in opposite directions. And isn't it good we learned this up front instead of downstream when expectations have been created and later disillusionment experience? That's so much better. I'm telling you, my friends, when you have no deal as an option, in your mind, it's the most liberating feeling there is, because you don't have to manipulate people. You can honestly say, let's go for win-win, or we'll go for no deal. Now, I admit there are some relationships where no deal is not viable. I wouldn't bag my child or my loved ones or other people that I am very dependent upon, or they on me, and go for no deal. Be better to go for compromise. A low, low form of win-win, not synergistic. But that's often the realistic approach with some people. But where it is realistic to go into a negotiation with a full attitude, let's really work until we hammer out a win-win deal, or let's simply agree we won't make a deal at all. And maybe another time downstream, we might be able to do something like that. I had a client of mine, the president of a large chain of retail stores, one time say to me, I was talking on this subject, you know, Stephen, this win-win idea sounds good, but, you know, it's so idealistic. The tough, realistic business world isn't quite like that. I mean, there's win-lose everywhere. And if you're not out there playing the game, you just can't make it. How many kind of identify with that expression? Well, I said to him, let's talk it through some more then. Take your customer. Why not go for win-lose with your customer? He said, well, you can't do that because your customer won't come back. So is win-lose realistic with the customer? He said, no. Well, then go for lose-win. Be a nice guy. Give away your margin. Now what'll happen? You can't come back. Right. So is lose-win, is nice guy realistic? No. Seems to me then that win-win is the only one that's realistic. That the other two are the ones that are idealistic, because you're assuming naively that you won't have to live with the consequences of win-lose or lose-win. Isn't that completely unrealistic? He said, well, that's true with customers, but not suppliers. I better listen to your experience. He said, all right. We're right now in the process of renegotiating our lease arrangements with the mall operators and owners. And as our consultant, you've counseled us to think win-win. To go into the whole negotiation with a win-win attitude. We've done that. Really, we're open, reasonable, have a win-win spirit. They see that as weakness and softness. And they took us to the cleaners. I said, why'd you go for lose-win? We didn't. We went for win-win. I thought you said they took you to the cleaners. They did. In other words, you lost. Yeah? And they won. That's right. What's that called? Do you know what a dichotomy is? Dichotomy means either or. If you're not tough, you're weak. You're not strong, you're soft. Either one. So most people, when they hear the concept of win-win, they think it means you're nice. That you're not tough. See? It does mean you're nice, but it also means you're tough. It's the combination of courage balanced with consideration that's the essence of the character strength underlying the win-win approach. No, we've got to be open to each other and begin to see the quality of our relationship in a totally different way. Both of our paradigms must shift, must change. That's why I say it's not compromise, it's synergy. Can you really stay with win-win and result in win-win when one person has a deep mindset toward win-lose? That is the only test of win-win. It's easy to go for win-win when she has the spirit of going for win-win. How do you influence a person's paradigm, their mindset of win-lose? The only way they define winning is beating. Getting on top, winning the negotiation. You have to stay longer in the communication process. Habit two, I want all my relationships to have a win-win character to them. So I describe it to her directly. We like a long-term relationship with you. I went to my service station man and I said, I've got these two cars. How would you like to set up a win-win deal with me? Your win would be you'd get all our business. Our win would be you would take care of them as if they were your own. And if they need tires, if they need belts, if they need battery, anything that does the prevention work so we don't have any problem with them, that's what you do. And you give us the best prices you feel you can with a reasonable profit. Because I want to see you succeed in your business and make money in your business. And I want to also win by having you take over these cars if you would be willing. I'm telling you, when I go into that person's service station, he leaves another car. He assigns someone else to go take care of mine. I had a belt breakdown one time in the desert. He insisted on paying for it. I should have noticed it. Stephen, I'm so sorry you had that trouble. He just goes out of his way to serve because I went out of my way to establish an upfront win-win agreement. There's always a third alternative, my friend. Always. You take almost any situation where you think there's either two alternatives, two ways, yours and the right one. Really. And I predict, if you'll start working with the win-win philosophy, you'll come up with another alternative that will satisfy you both. That's synergy. But that takes a lot of self-restraint, a lot of patience, a lot of seeking to understand and seeking to be understood. The key question is this. Is this an interdependent reality? Is it the nature of the reality where the results you want depend upon you and others cooperating? If so, what? Win-win. If it's an independent reality, then what? You can go for win-lose. Then you tap both motivations. See, I wouldn't want two of you working in this sales office to compete with each other when you could help each other. But what if we could get this office to compete with this office in your own company in another city? You don't need to cooperate together. Now you've tapped the power of competition in people, which is deeply inbred in them from all this cultural conditioning, plus the power of cooperation or synergy, so that you're strong on closing, he's strong on prospecting. Then you can compete with this. But to try to set up a contest between people in your own office, people that you should cooperate with, you can see how utterly dysfunctional that is. Or let me illustrate. This was a very large real estate operation. About 4 years ago, I was invited to present some ideas along this line at a large rally. A rally, you know, is a real psych-up, entertainment, frenzied affair where half the time is spent in some form of cheerleading. Well, it was exciting. About 800 people were there, and only about 20 of them received the top awards for the greatest progression, you know, the more sales, etc., etc., is in real estate. Most listings, greatest volume, earned commissions, you know, and there was a lot of applause for them, and they received the awards and the trips and so forth. 20 out of 800. We moved to a win-win incentive system, which meant this, that everyone who met a particular standard would receive these awards. And the individual groups helped to develop the standard and the award that they felt really good about. 1 year later, there were about 1,000 by that time, instead of 800. 800 of them received the awards. You didn't have to have a lot of fanfare, a lot of cheerleading, a lot of artificial psych-up. There was so much natural interest, they wanted everybody to take the trip to Bermuda. Let's work to help this person. Let's go together. Families got to know each other, like each other. Now the question is, really, how high was their performance? The 800 were equal or above the 20 the year previous. The power of synergy. Synergy is the release of enormous human effort and energy when two people cooperate together and share with each other, so that you can make one person's weaknesses compensated for by the strength of another. Let's examine the nature of the whole win-win philosophy. This is not just some little technique. It's not just a nice little phrase, win-win or no deal. Basically, if I were to put it in two words, I would say the abundance mentality. That's the character of a win-win person. Abundance basically means that person's paradigm of life is there's plenty out there to spare and for everybody. The scarcity mentality, on the other hand, is that there's only so much. Abundance mentality thinks many, many options, many alternatives. Let's open up the world of creativity. How many have had an experience, let's say, in an athletic team where you could just feel that the spirit of the team subordinated personal interests and people put the team ahead? Have you had that experience? See, that's a win-win feeling. Or with a supplier, where you really got involved with that supplier, or a distributor, or an employee, and you just did whatever's necessary to hammer out a win-win thing, or you saw someone else do that, that becomes a mentor to you, a model that you can look at. They may not adopt you as a mentee, but at least they can be a model. It's very important when you study win-win to look for models. Otherwise, a lot of people say, it's been my experience, sounds good, just not practical. Just doesn't work out. It's the only one that works, my friend. Seriously, long term, the only one that works long term. Look for models. They're everywhere. I remember one time with a company that asked me if I would help them train people in skills of human interaction and sales and so forth. And I said, I'd be happy to do so, but are you sure that's the problem? See, the assumption was the problem was within the people. And their answer was, yeah, we think that's where it is. I said, what's your data? They said, test it for yourself. Go in any store you want, see how they treat you. They're just order takers. They don't understand the sales process of how to understand the prospect, how to discern the real need, how to understand the product, and to bring a marriage between the product and the need. Could you just help us understand that? Go in, and I did. And they were right. You could see it clearly. Still didn't answer the question, what caused that attitude? What caused that feeling? They said, well, we're convinced that we're on top of this problem. We just want you to provide some training. I said, do you have any more evidence? They said, yeah. The department heads are the best salespeople. And that's what we want them to be. We want them to be good models. We define their job as about 2/3 to 3/4 sales and 1/3 to 1/4 management. And so we've got the best models, but the people won't cooperate. As soon as I heard that, I knew the red flag. The problem is in a system, I'll bet. So we went out, and I said, well, let's just continue to do some more gathering of data. They didn't like that. They said, oh, come on, Stephen, let's get with it. Let's do the training within a short period of time. I mean, just like that, almost within a day, we found out what the problem was. It was called creaming. The department heads would stand behind the cash register and cream all the business during the slow times. And half the time in retail is slow. The other half is frenetic, see? But half of it's slow. So what does the manager do? Gives all the dirty jobs, inventory control and stock work and cleaning and so forth, to the people. And he stands behind and creams. That's why he was the number one salesperson, see? Creaming. And everyone agreed on it. So, by changing one system, it corrected the problem almost overnight. What do you think we did? Well, what kind of a system do you have? It's a win-lose commission system. They lose, he wins. This department head. What could you do to set up a win-win compensation system? The manager only makes money when they make money. So we overlap their needs and goals with his needs and goals. Win-win. Overnight. Now, did they want training then? They were open, anxious for it. Totally different attitude toward it. The problem lay in the system, not the people. You put good people in bad systems, you get bad results. I mean, it's ludicrous, isn't it, when you think about it? See what I mean by systems? Systems govern. Now, people set up systems, so in the last analysis, people govern. But they need to look at systems. You know, I have a friend who was having dinner with, and all of us were served lemon meringue pie. His daughter wasn't served lemon meringue pie. It's a beautiful pie. She was sitting there smiling. I turned to him. I said, Cecil, doesn't she like lemon meringue pie? He said, it's her favorite. She has none, and look how happy she is. Grandma's law. What's that? If you don't clean your plate, you don't get dessert, and she hates vegetables more than she likes lemon meringue pie. Who chose that consequence? She did. Even that is win-win.